Hey guys, and welcome to the third episode of the Never Run EMS podcast. My name is Jesse Lapadula, and I will be once again your host. Thanks for tuning into the retirement episode. The last two episodes, we talked a lot about how we perceive this job. Is it a career? Is it a job? What's the earning potential? What other things can we do within this career to make this a little bit more lucrative for us? And one thing that always comes up is, listen, how do we retire? How can we set ourselves up for success when we want out? And do we have to wait 25, 30 years? Am I going to be old by the time I'm ready to say goodbye to the license sirens? And another sort of sentiment that I've noticed is this dissatisfaction with the fact that we are often not offered pensions, much like police, fire, caseworkers, county, state, federal employees. I want to argue that pensions should not be the litmus test for whether this job is a career or not. In fact, I think that pensions are not what they used to be, at least in New York State here, the tier six in particular. We'll dive into the particulars of those, but I really want the overarching notion of this podcast episode to be, you don't need a pension in order to retire. There are avenues that you may or may not be aware of at your own job that will allow you to very successfully retire, and often at younger ages than a fully vested pension plan. First and foremost, a little disclosure, I'm not a financial expert. I am not sponsored by any financial groups, nor will I probably ever be. The only sort of expertise that I have on all of this is from several books that I've read. And if you're just starting off with understanding finances, I would recommend I Will Teach You to Be Rich by Ramit Sethi. And I've read that book cover to cover twice. He just released the second edition of the book, I believe last year. It's really a book about personal finance. And as the title suggests, he will teach you how to be rich. A lot of what he talked about was saving for retirement. A lot of what I'm going to be talking about today is going to be about what I read in that and several other books. But that's a great place to start. It's a very quick read, very fun too. And lastly, if you're listening to this podcast and your finger was hovering over the play button, wondering if you're going to feel guilty for not having started down this journey of figuring out retirement, rest assured, a common sentiment shared by people who save for retirement is they wish that they started before they actually did. And that's because compound interest starts the minute that you put in your first dollar. Again, that is a sentiment shared by all. I feel pretty confident in my retirement plan. When I run the numbers, I really wish that I started 10 years sooner. So don't feel guilty. Feel excited that your step may be beginning today and may have already been accruing, and you just weren't completely aware of how successful you currently are. So with that in mind, start to get ownership over your own financial goals and responsibilities, and then it will be a lot more fun. And that's a common theme of this podcast. Everything that we do should be fun. All right, let's get into it. So I posted in the EMS subreddit, and a quick sidebar on that. I always post in the EMS subreddit, and I asked the moderators if I could let people know that I was asking questions for the purposes of this podcast, and they pretty much said no, which is fine. That's their prerogative. But I started my own EMS subreddit. It's called EMS_NeverRun. That's EMS_NEVERUN. Yes, there's only one R. And I'm going to be posting the same questions in there and hoping to grow that community there. All right. So the question I asked was, what is your plan for retirement? What, if anything, does your place of work offer in terms of retirement benefits? And I got a lot of answers. I will say more than half of them were relatively scary to read in terms of a lot of people planning to just die before they ever retire. That's certainly not what I hope your sentiment is in listening to this episode. If it was coming into it, I hope at the end of it, you are a lot more glasses half full kind of a person when it comes to retirement. So this first user says they match like 6% here, no pension. And I got to tell you, a lot of people said 6%. That's fantastic. I've never worked at a place that offers a 6% match. And really quick, what that means is that this user is putting in 6% of his pre-tax income and his employer is matching that. So for example, if you make $100,000 a year, this user is putting in $6,000 of pre-tax money, meaning he's not paying taxes on $6,000. That $6,000 is going into an account, and his employer is putting in another $6,000, effectively doubling what money he's able to put away for retirement. It's $12,000 a year, $1,000 a month. Pretty good, I would say. This next user says 401k with a 6% match. I guess I can also invest my HSN money as well once it gets above a certain number, and that goes into my retirement as well. Again, I said 6% is dope. I wonder if they've looked into a Roth IRA. We'll discuss those here shortly. There's always a Canadian in there who one-ups us. We're on the province's public service pension plan. Can't take, I believe, 75% at 25 years or full at 30 years. I started at age 23, and so mid to late 50s by the time I hopefully take my pension. As far as I know, it's really good. And I said, you Canadians and your killer Benny is good for you. So this individual at 25 years of service will be able to take 25% of his pay, and then I would assume pay taxes on that, and then 100% of his pay at 30 years. So, you know, depending on your outlook on that, that's pretty good. And starting at the age of 23, so 48 years old, he's able to retire, or she. That's not bad. That's not bad. It's definitely a lot better than what we have here in New York. We have a user here saying, probably going to die before I retire. We're gonna skip over that nonsense. This individual says, use my EMS career for my Dave Ramsey goals. Draw what little is there in another 8 years. Add to my active duty retirement in VA. So he's got a couple different avenues here. Job offers state and county retirement. One you can pay into and they'll match. The other can't be paid into, but it's 8%. With that and my wife working on her career, time to move out to the boonies and fish until time to go the way of the elephant. That's a statement or a phrase that I wasn't aware of until this person said it. And you know, for those of you who aren't aware, David Ramsey, he's a podcaster, personal finance coach, and he believes in having absolutely zero debt. And depending on your outlook, that could be a very good thing. To other investors, maybe not so much. So I said, Ramsey, and 8% is baller. Sounds like you are all set. My wife and I love his podcast. Also been listening to Remy Sethi's podcast as well. And then I always give an award for the most depressing thing on this subreddit. Hopefully die on the job and my beneficiary for my life insurance has to follow through with doing an impromptu downtown strip show in order to get the money. And I said, a lot of depressing answers here, and I generally only respond to the funniest one. You win. I hope you at least have left your beneficiary a comfortable pair of Uggs slippers to runway walk on down the asphalt. That's pleasant. Thanks for that. The last one I'm going to talk about on here is this individual has a Roth IRA. Very cool. Two other pensions in addition to my main one, a universal life policy. And then they suggest don't count on Social Security. I would agree with that. You know, Social Security may or may not be there when we're ready to retire or when you're ready to retire. And I said, that's awesome. Double pensions. I've never heard of anyone pulling that off. Props to you. And then they said, when you are vested in a pension, they have to pay even if it isn't much. So it sounds like this person was working at one place, maybe in one state, got vested. So maybe worked 5 to 7 years and then they're required to pay and then moved on to another position, maybe in another state, another county. When you are vested in a pension, they have to pay even if it isn't much. One pension will only be $200 a month, the other less than $1,000, but it still helps. Yeah, I would definitely say that still helps. I wonder if they're still working in this other job and if that's going to increase, because $1,000 for 25, 30 years is certainly, you know, that juice ain't worth the squeeze. There's a lot of other ways to get there. So this episode is going to be about the different types of retirement plans. Pensions, 401k, and a simple IRA with employer match, and then a Roth IRA, and then a little bit about real estate. I'm going to get in the habit in these episodes to let you know a little bit about what I'm doing so that you guys know that I'm following my own advice and thoughts on stuff, right? 2 weeks ago, I taught a CPR class, made quite a bit of money doing that. I have two more coming up this month. I have a Teach the Teacher, so I'm deputizing two other people to become CPR instructors, which is always nice. I have a couple of apartments turning over, so I have a couple of rentals that my wife and I manage. Occasionally, people move out, so we're gonna have to turn some of those over. And then we just got an offer accepted on a single family house that is on the cheaper side of things, so we're gonna be able to put some work into that, eventually flip that. So I definitely consider real estate not an entire piece of my pie, but certainly a small piece of my retirement plan, and also get to enjoy the cash flow benefits of those as well. I'll probably have an episode devoted wholly to the notion of that, and we're going to stick today to Roth IRAs, simple IRAs, and 401ks. Moving forward with this episode, we're going to use simple IRA and 401k as the same thing. They often have the same sort of setup. Depending on the size of the company that you work at and how many employees there are, it may be advantageous for them to set up a simple IRA as opposed to a 401k. And for our purposes, they're really the same thing as long as they offer a match. We'll jump right into that. So the best way for me to illustrate how this works for those of you who don't know, and for some of us, we could always use a refresher on what's available to us. You may work at a place that offers you something called a 401k with a 3% match, or a simple IRA with a 3% match, or it could be a 4%, 5% match, right? And sometimes you have to wait a year or two before they will allow you to open one up with their match. So for example, the agency that I work at now requires that I work there for a full year before I am eligible for a 3% match, which is kind of a bummer, but it's sort of the going rate these days. I'll give you a scenario. You work for 25 years between several different EMS jobs that all offer something called a simple IRA with a 3% match. So unlike a pension where you say work for a county police department and you say want to go work in a different state altogether. Well, if you're vetted out working 5 years in New York State and you want to go work in Pennsylvania now, well, that pension is probably not going to transfer, right? So one benefit of a 401k and a simple IRA right off the bat over a pension is that you could work for different departments and those retirement accounts can convert into wherever you happen to be working. You're always going to have access to that and they don't have to be in the same account in order to accrue compounding interest. That 3% match, let's talk about that. This means that if you pledge 3% of your gross income per year, your employer matches this amount into a retirement account. For example, if you work at a place making $100,000 a year, you're putting $3,000 into that account. Your employer is putting $3,000 in that account, meaning you are effectually investing $6,000 every year. So because your employer is matching that, you're doubling down on your retirement savings. That money goes into the equivalent of a savings account. And it's not really making any money sitting in there. It might make 1%, which is nothing. It's pitiful. What you then do with that is you purchase things like stocks, bonds, mutual funds, ETFs, all of those things, hopefully accruing compounding interest. Now, right off the bat, I'm not going to give you advice on what you would purchase with that. But what I will say is that the S&P 500 index fund has been killer. I mean, you can expect 8% returns on that. What that means is that you're buying a product that purchases shares in 500 of the most profitable businesses, right? So you're going to have a little bit of an Apple stock. You're going to have a little bit of a Google stock. That's better than just buying a bunch of Apple stocks because Apple stocks go like this every day. Now, if you're diversifying that across the 500 richest companies, then chances are they're all going to grow. And they're going to grow at a predictable rate. So if you're watching the YouTube version of this or the Instagram version of this, I'm pulling up some reports that I've pulled. You could go to things like bankrate.com and plug in numbers all day long. So you're taking that money, that $6,000 a year, you're investing in these things, hoping for about 8% compounding interest return, right? So the longer and longer and longer that you invest, the stocks that you bought 10 years ago are now worth way more than they were when you bought them, right? And you just keep compounding that interest so that you have this parabolic curve in savings potential. Let's run that scenario. Let's say that you're putting in $3,000 a year, your employer is putting in $3,000 a year. So that's $6,000 a year into your 401k or your simple IRA. That means that over the course of 25 years, you have put in a principal of $150,000. That means that you and your employer have collectively put in $150,000, $75,000, $75,000. So with that total principal of $150,000, you should have about $600,000 after 25 years. That's about $1,300 a month after taxes. And you're not even going to feel that $75,000 that you put in there over the course of 25 years. What you are going to feel is after you're ready to pull out of that account, $1,300 a month. That's really good. Not to mention, during those 25 years, you've saved about $18,000 in federal income taxes because you weren't paying taxes on that money that you were putting into your 401k. You do pay taxes when you withdraw from this, however. So I always give the after-tax information when I talk about this stuff, right? But you would do the same thing if you were taking money out from your pension. You would be paying taxes on that as well. So what have we learned from this? I just don't believe that pensions should be the litmus test for whether or not you believe that your job is a career or a job. And you probably shouldn't be making decisions on where you work based on the notion whether they offer a pension or not. Because as we're about to learn, this 3% match or 6% match has the ability to make you hundreds of thousands of dollars. And when you couple that with other sources of compounding interest, you easily could retire a millionaire. So just to recap on that, most jobs don't offer a pension, so it's really not something that's achievable anyway, unless we want to go into the fire service or police. But the only reason that you should go into fire is because you want to be a firefighter, not because there's a pension. And the only reason that you should go into law enforcement is because you want to be a law enforcement officer, not because they have a pension. I know that New York State pensions, the tier six, they're not that great. They're not as awesome as they used to be. For example, New York State requires a 6% contribution rate, which is higher than it used to be, and you're not eligible for full retirement until you're 63. You can retire at 55, but with highly reduced benefits. So, you know, when you're retiring at the age of 63, I just feel like that's probably a little bit too old. I definitely want to retire earlier. I want to retire before I'm 55 if I can. And at that tier six level, that's only about $1,300 a month after federal income taxes, after 25 years of service. So you're working for a quarter century and all you're getting for it is $1,300 a month. There's a lot of things that we could do today that would give us $1,300 a month cash flow. For example, one rental property can absolutely get you $1,300 a month. Saving the $5,000, $10,000, $15,000 necessary to make the down payment for that asset is a lot easier than working for 25 years. And likewise, if you invested $100 a month into a Roth IRA during that 25 years of service, $100 a month, $1,200 a year, I think we can all spare $100. You'd have $120,000 at the end of that 25 years, and you would pay no taxes. And we're going to talk about Roth IRAs here in a second. But the takeaway from that is that you do not pay taxes on this other type of retirement account. So $120,000 with only $100 a month, or work a pension job for 25 years. So the conclusion here is, do not let pensions be your primary motivator for where you are going to work. There's other avenues. And for those of you following along here, I use bankrate.com to figure out exactly how much you would make. For example, if you are 30 years old and you contribute $1,200 a year, meaning $100 a month, and you wanted to retire at the age of 65, so 35 years, and you're assuming an 8% rate of return, you could have $206,000. That's an awful long time to invest, but hopefully you're still investing when you're retired. In my mind, it's a lot easier to invest $100 a month than it is to work 25 years at a job that I may or may not enjoy and be required to work for that length of time before I'm able to retire. Obviously, there's all sorts of exceptions for this. For example, if you have military experience, my understanding is that you can retire earlier. You know, everybody has their own unique situation. This is not one size fits all advice, but it definitely is advice that fits me. I'm assuming that it would fit a lot of folks as well. So let's talk about Roth IRA. I'm sure that we've all heard about Roth IRAs in the past, and it sort of gets fudgy what that is, especially when we're talking about things like simple IRAs, 401ks, tax deferred accounts, so on and so forth, right? The takeaway from this podcast is going to be learning about 401ks, which again is the same thing as a simple IRA, and then Roth IRAs. A Roth IRA is another type of retirement account that is not sponsored by your employer. You can go sign up for a Roth IRA right now with as little as $1,000. I'm sure that there's ones that you don't even need any money to get started. I use Vanguard, relatively low expense ratios from what I'm told. This is, again, advice that I've gotten from other people. And it's just easy to use. It's what I've been using for years. You could go open up what's called a Roth IRA. What that is an account that you put after tax funds into. So that means I get my paycheck, which has already been run through the wash. Federal government has taken their money out of it. The state's taken their money out of it. That money goes into my normal checking account. I then choose to put X amount of money into a Roth IRA. You're able to put in a maximum of $7,000 a year. That's a little over $500 a month. You can put in between zero and $500 a month into that account, and that will generate compound interest. The reason that the government says you can only put in $7,000 a month, and by the way, it goes up every once in a while. For instance, 5 years ago, the maximum was $6,500. Maybe in 20 years, you're able to put in $9,000. Who knows? The reason that they put a cap on it is because you do not pay taxes when you take that money out when you retire, which is really nice. So if you have $1 million in there, you have $1 million that you can take out. That is another vehicle. So you have your simple IRA, which you pay taxes on when you take money out, but you're not paying taxes on those contributions during your working career. And then you have your Roth IRA, which you do not pay taxes on when you go ahead and take that money out. The two of those together is an excellent vehicle to retire rich. So let's delve into a couple of calculations on this. Again, I'll speak out loud for those of you who are not following along on YouTube. So let's say we want to retire when we're 55 years old. We put in the maximum, again, $7,000, right? And we're starting off with $0. So what I put into this calculator is $0 starting balance. I'm saying I'm 30 years old. I'm going to contribute $7,000 a year. I want to retire at the age of 55 and I'm expecting an 8% return. And then some of these ask what your marginal tax rate will be. I'm assuming 24% between my wife's income and mine. Now that pops out a number. My estimated IRA balance is $584,000. It's fantastic. It's more than $500,000. Now, keep in mind, it could be more, it could be less. You know, 8% I think is a pretty conservative value. If it's 10%, if the markets do really well and average out 10% by the time I'm 55 years old, I mean, there could be close to $1 million in there, right? I like to be conservative in my estimates. So one common argument against Roth IRAs is that, well, you can't pull money out of it until you're 59 and a half years old. They're only partially correct on that. Let's say that you have an emergency and you've been paying into your Roth IRA for 5 years, right? And you've been doing the maximum. So $7,000 for 5 years, that's $35,000 of principal. Again, principal is the money that you put in, not the returns. So you have $35,000 sitting in there, and by then you've maybe accrued $15,000 in annual returns. So you have $50,000 sitting in there. You can pull money from the principal of that Roth IRA anytime without any sort of penalty. What you can't do is pull more than that without penalties. So they make you wait until you're 59 have to be able to take money. Let's say that we invested in the Roth IRA just a little bit longer. I said starting balance of zero, 30 years old, contributing $7,000 a year. I want to retire at the age of 65. So that's 35 years. And I'm expecting 8%. I want to retire at the age of 65. Keeping in mind that I'm probably already pulling from other income sources that I've had. My annual expected rate of return is 8%. Again, marginal tax rate, 24%, $1.37 million sitting in that account. Not bad. I'd say that's fantastic. So we could see leaving it in there for an additional 10 years has this parabolic amount of return. So having a couple of different income sources, and I would argue that a third one, something like rental properties that cash flows in real time, those three things can be a great vehicle for retirement and doesn't tie you down to one type of employment or even in some cases, one location of work. For example, there are some agencies out there that offer a pension and you have to work in that same agency for your entire career. There's one of them here in upstate New York and it's a fantastic place to work. I'm not arguing that it's not, but I'm somebody who I don't want to be tied down to one specific place. For example, I really wanted to get into flight paramedicine. So if I was on the ground and I really wanted to learn critical care medicine and I found a program that offers critical care medicine, I would feel pretty bummed out that I wasn't able to go explore some of these other opportunities because, well, I promised myself that I would stay at this place until I'm able to get some form of pension. I just think that the argument that in some cases, something silly like $1,200 a month is reason enough to stay at a particular location. Remember, a big part of this podcast is about great enjoyment of your career and making it work for you the best way that it possibly can, not you for it. So I have one last slide here to show you. I'm calling it the final straw. It's a conservative estimate of how much money you should have if you were to use a 3% match and fully maxed out Roth IRA for 25 years. This is not taking into account anything like increase in salary or other investments like rental properties. This is literally just those two things that we talked about. And in 25 years, you should have $2.2 million with an 8% return. If you're at 10%, let's say the markets do really well and we average 10% return, you are almost at $3 million. And at the bottom end, 6%. And if we're only realizing 6% returns, we've had a really hard adulthood. In other words, our biggest problems may not be what's in our retirement account at that point, but you'll still have $1.5 million sitting in your account. So the process starts today. Are you taking advantage of these situations already available to you? Have you signed up for a 3% match or more with your current employer? Are you working for an employer that offers a match? If not, how do we get to a place that does offer a match? Are we contributing to a Roth IRA? If not, you're probably listening to this on some sort of device when you're all parked and checked in for your job. Why don't you go ahead and hop on Vanguard.com and just learn about, hey, putting in some money in there. One thing that I'm sure I'll get asked after I publish this episode is, well, what are you investing in? And I'm going to tell you what I'm investing in because it's very, very, very simple. I want to reiterate, I'm not a financial advisor. And I want to also let you know that there's millions of different ways to skin the cat of how to retire and how to make income with great returns. So in my Vanguard account, there is a mutual fund called VOO, V-O-O, Victor Oswald Oswald. And that is an S&P 500 index fund. What that means is companies like Apple and Amazon, the 500 biggest companies that you can invest in, I purchase a share of that, and that $500 a month or whatever I choose to put in that month is split across all 500 of those companies. The game that I'm therefore playing is saying, okay, I believe that the average growth of these 500 companies is going to be 8% or more over the next 3 decades of my life. And it's a pretty safe assumption. There are lots of investors out there that agree with this notion, or I agree with them because I didn't invent it. It's a very safe way to hopefully guarantee compound interest over the course of your career. I don't invest in much more than that. I'm not sitting here saying, oh my God, I think that Google is going to do really well this month. I'm going to invest in some Google. Well, one Google stock is probably more than what that VOO stock is. I actually don't even know what the price of an Apple stock is because I don't care. I would never invest in it because the next time that Apple releases a disappointing iPhone, it's probably going to drop and I'm not going to be happy with how that looks. And I can't guarantee that they're ever going to go up. You can't guarantee anything with investing, but my notion is that if the S&P 500 does worse, we have bigger problems than what my retirement account looks like. I think it's pretty safe to invest in that. Now, if you go with other investment firms like Charles Schwab, or I don't even know of any other ones, to be honest with you, Vanguard and Charles Schwab, they probably have their own version of an S&P 500 fund. So figure out what yours is. And I did read one Reddit story posted in some finance forum I found, some finance subreddit, where this poor guy or gal was working for 25 years investing in a simple IRA and a Roth IRA. And they said that they didn't know until they posted this subreddit that they were supposed to actively be investing those funds. So just to highlight that for you, when you and your employer put that money into your retirement account, it's more than likely sitting in a settlement account. And just think of that as like a checking or a savings account. It's therefore up to you or a financial advisor to buy things with that. You need to purchase assets with that money. Otherwise, it's just sitting in a low interest bearing account for your entire career. This person missed out on 25 years of compound interest, could be potentially a millionaire, but instead is only left with the principal. And if you recall, if he was investing $7,000 a year for 25 years, let me just do the math on that quick. That means that his principal, the only money that's going to be in that account, is $175,000. And remember, if you plug that into a calculator with 8% returns, he could be a millionaire with 8% returns. Don't be that person. Take the time now to figure out what your exact retirement situation is and take advantage of the only thing that you have, which is time. You have more time to accrue. You have more time to invest. Your earning potential should only go up as you age. So you have more money to invest, which means that you'll have more money when you retire. And also recognize the safety in investing, that if you do have a true emergency, that you're able to pull from the principal of that at any time. Just try your best to pay it back at some point, but you're not going to be penalized for doing so. Let's bring this episode to a close. What we've learned today is the difference between a simple IRA, which is going to be pre-tax contributions, usually with a match from your employer to double down on your investment contributions throughout the year. We've learned about Roth IRAs, which is going to be post-tax, meaning you do not take taxes out of it when you retire. The money that's there is the money that you get. And we touched upon the notion of real estate. That's something I'm very passionate about, and I'll probably have an episode devoted to it. But we also learned, perhaps the most important takeaway, is that if somebody asks you, does your job offer retirement? And then your answer is, oh, just a 3% match. Recognize that you are diminishing the value of perhaps the greatest asset available to you, which is your employer giving you free money to invest. That is an excellent vehicle to retirement and should not be overlooked. Just because it doesn't have the word pension on it does not mean that it is not extraordinarily valuable. And as I've made the case in this episode, perhaps more valuable to you than what a pension would be. We tend to think that the word pension is really sexy, and I just don't think that it's as great as we make it out to be, particularly anymore. Your grandfather's pension is not what your pension is if you're just getting into it today. That's certainly the case in New York. I'm going to assume that it's also the case in many other areas of the country. With that, we're going to close out this episode. Please be sure to check out my new subreddit. It's EMS_NeverRun. Please give me a follow on whatever platform you're listening to. My goal is to have a greater reach with this podcast. Share this with your colleagues. Feel free to laugh, cry along with it. Let me know if I got anything wrong, if there's anything that you would add to it, and let's try to grow this community the best that we can. I hope that this episode brought some value to you. Again, I just want to encourage you to take a look at your own personal financial situation and set yourself up for success in the near and far future. And with that, thank you very much and never run. Hey, thanks again for listening to this episode of the Never Run EMS podcast. If you like what you heard, please be sure to like and subscribe on whatever format you're listening to. To connect with me and share your ideas for future episodes, please visit neverrunmedic.com. That's NEVERUN medic.com. And yes, it's missing an R. Be sure to subscribe to the video versions of this podcast on Instagram and YouTube as well. Thank you again. Stay safe and never run.